I hope each of you have had a good week here this morning, and I've had an interesting week. I was really struggling here this week about what to preach on, and I came across or having a conversation with my wife when we were thinking about Jesus as my shepherd. I got to John chapter 10, and I was going through it, and I was looking at it, and I thought, man, there is so much here. And I spent the first couple of days during the week, and I was thinking, what is it that I can go and dig out of this? There's so much here. Which direction to go? And I was praying about it, thinking, God, what is it you would have me to do? And it was I was really just struggling with it. And I said, I could not get where God would want me to go with this. And so whenever you don't get an answer with God, you usually then go to your wife, right? Isn't that how it works? So I went to my wife, and I said, look, I'm really struggling with this. I just can't really get a focus on where to go with this. And then she's like, well, why don't you just do a series? I thought, why did I think of that? So we're going to do a little mini-series within our series, okay? Because we're doing a series on Jesus. And so now we're going to do sort of a mini-series on Jesus the shepherd. And today we're going to be looking at the pretend shepherd. Now, when I told my wife that, she was really freaking out. Then she goes like, how can I think of songs to go with the pretend shepherd, And so she did a wonderful job today, so I made her job a little bit harder this week. And so thank you for your effort here today and the great slides that go with it. But I put her behind a little bit this week, so she's been under the pump. So thank you so much, Valerie, for your work here this week. But we're going to be looking at the pretend shepherd. We'll be in John chapter 10. So if you'd like to open up your Bibles to John chapter 10, we'll get in there in just a moment. Let's open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word. And Lord, as we look at Jesus as a good shepherd and we look at different aspects of John chapter 10, Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts here this morning, help us to receive the things of your word here this morning. And Lord, as we think about you as our shepherd, Lord, I pray that for those that may not have you as their shepherd, Lord, that they consider this and really think about it, and you would speak to their hearts, Lord, and they'll be willing to receive you as Lord and Savior here today. So, Lord, we do thank you for your word and pray that you'll guide us here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever made a purchase and it really didn't match what was being advertised? Yep, some of you have gone through that, yep. I used to get stuck on some of those as seen on TV ads. Yeah. And especially when it came to tools. And then I would sit there and think about, how my life would be better if I just had that tool. And I go in to think about all the things that I've done in my life and think, man, I could have used it there. I could have used that. It would have made my life so much easier, so much better. And I thought, man, this is a fantastic tool. This is awesome. And then I would go call my wife. Hey, Valerie, come here. You got to see this. And of course, Valerie comes in there and she's looking. Said, "Look at this thing. I mean, just look at it." And I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, drooling. And she walks in with her arms crossed and looks at it, and she's like, "Cool. Can I go back to work now?" And that's not the response that I was looking for. Man, I was wanting her to get excited about this tool. I was wanting her to say, "Hey, Dwayne, that's an awesome tool. That's a great tool. You really need that. You need to add that with all your other tools you've got. You really need that. I mean, look at the tool. And look, the first 100 people. Look at all the extra stuff you get. Man, you need to get on that." That's what I was looking for. That's what I was hoping for. But because I didn't get that tick of approval, all right, we're going to go the hard way. And so then I have to go online and do reviews and things like that to find all the other happy people out there that has this tool. And I get really upset because of the fact sometimes I go and I do a review, and somebody puts in the review box, "Not as advertised." I was like, really? Not as advertised. I'm not going to go spend the money if it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And so that saved me quite a bit of money throughout the years. But unfortunately, some retailers misrepresent their products, and they appeal to the part of the brain that screams out, "You can't live without this. You got to have this. Everybody else has it, so you're going to miss out if you don't get it," right? And sometimes they'll even go to the extent that, "Hey, mate, your life depends on this. I mean, you need this device. You need this medication." And it creates fear and anxiety in people sometimes. Well, there are several ways that one can manipulate others into believing something to be true. Magicians and illusionists, they do it all the time. You see that you see what they want you to see, but their intent and their purpose are hidden from view until you're called out. Occasionally, you may lose a bit of money, or you may make a bad investment, or you may get the wool pulled over your eyes, and with temporal things, this may be annoying, but it's not the end of the world. However, when deception moves over into the spiritual realm, the stakes are even much higher. So when someone advises you regarding spiritual matters, you want to be sure that they are legit. Many spiritual advisors would love to capture your attention and lead you astray. Cults will often have these wonderful promises that they offer to you, but gradually they gain more and more control until you're trapped or you're deceived, even to the point of isolating you from everybody else, your friends and your family. Shepherds can lead you to the truth, or they can lead you in bondage. So I want to take a closer look here today at shepherds. And a lot of information I'm going to provide for you today will sort of be the foundation for future messages here over the next couple of weeks. So let's look at the shepherds first of all. So who is a shepherd? Who is a shepherd? Well, the term shepherd, of course, in the Bible, it's used for one who tends sheep. And it is with our language here today as well. But also, when we start studying the Bible, we also find out that individuals are oftentimes referred to as sheep in the Scriptures as well. Here, let me give you a couple examples. In Psalms chapter 100, verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Isaiah 53, 6, many of you probably know that by heart. "All we like sheep have gone astray," it says. And so it says there in the Scriptures that we are sheep, individuals are sheep. Now, why God chose to use sheep to represent mankind, I really don't know. Maybe it's because we're dumb, prone to wander, and we're in need of guidance. Why God chooses to use that, I don't know. If people are sheep, then those that are tasked to lead God's people then, where they are called shepherds or overseers. Sometimes they are referred to as pastors or elders in the Bible as well, bishops. And so the role of a pastor is to oversee the flock. Paul gives us some instructions about this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer." There's our word. "To shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Peter also gives us some instructions in 1 Peter 5, 2. "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Serve as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lord over those that are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away." So we know here from Scripture that individuals are sheep, and therefore He has placed people over those sheep, which He calls shepherds. But we also know from Scriptures that not all shepherds are good shepherds. In fact, there are some who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Let's find those in the Bible here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Matthew goes on to say, "Behold, I send you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and be harmless as doves." Paul says in Acts chapter 20, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." For 3 years he warns them, listen, when I leave, chances are there's going to be people coming in here and they are going to try to move you away from the truth in which have been taught to you. Not everyone with a title, pastor or bishop or overseer or spiritual advisor, has good intention. And if you observe them long enough, you will know them by their fruit. I've been in ministry for over 25 years, and I've seen this time and time again. You've got a pastor that for whatever reason has to move out of the pastorate, and then you start seeing people in the congregation, they start poking their heads up. And you want to find out, hey, well, somebody's got to lead the church, right? And so you find out those who want to go and lead the church, and then you soon find out, well, not everybody has the proper intentions in doing so. And you know that by their fruits. So, what does a shepherd do? What does a shepherd do? One of the things that Jesus told Peter after he came back was to what? Three times he told him, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Three times he told him that. And so one of the jobs of a shepherd is to feed the sheep, give them information concerning the Word of God and how they are to live their lives, to feed the sheep. David also killed a lion and bear in order to protect his flock. And so we see part of the responsibility of a shepherd is to protect the flock as well. Jesus gives a parable about the shepherd, about the lost sheep. And they said if one is lost, then he leaves the 99, goes out into the wilderness to find the one lost sheep. And so part of the responsibility of a shepherd is actually to go and search out the lost as well. And so shepherds that we see here in this particular passage is also they're there to lead and to guide their sheep. One pastor told his congregation, it's my job to lead and feed, and it's your job to follow and swallow. Now, that may be a little bit simplistic and also maybe offensive to some, but if your pastor is feeding you good stuff and leading you to a place of growth, it's not really bad advice. But remember Acts 17:11. The Bereans were more noble because they received the word with all readiness, but then they went home after the message and they studied the word of God for themselves to see if what was said was true. And I would encourage you to do that. But also, what does a shepherd wear? Now, you may think, hey, come on, Dwayne, this is church. Now, who cares what a shepherd wears, right? It's not a fashion show. What's important about what a shepherd wears? Well, it is important, and I'll show you why. First of all is the abba. And this is a garment made of leather, or more likely camel's hair. It's a covering that could be converted into sort of like a mini pup tent that you can keep dry during the rain. It's also at night, if it gets a little bit cold, you can wrap it around you in order to stay warm while you're out in the fields with your sheep. But also tied around that abba would be a belt, probably a leather belt of some sort. And it would hold different items that he would need while he is out shepherding. The first one is a sling. He would stick a sling in his belt. It was composed of two strings of sinew or rope or leather with a receptacle leather in order to receive a stone. And they would swing it around a couple of times over their head and they would let go of one of the strings in order to discharge the stone. And in addition to that, using his sling against wild animals in order to protect them or against robbers, a shepherd found it handy to direct his sheep as well. And so a stone could be dropped very close to a sheep that's lagging behind and sort of startle it, and so it comes running back with the rest of the flock. Or if one was going another direction, the stone could be slung in order to just beyond it to bring him back into the fold again. So the string was used to keep predators away and to draw back the sheep that are moving too far away. But also there was a horn of oil. It was used to keep off insects and fleas. Insects would bite and really aggravate the sheep, especially in the face area. Some of the blowflies would try to go up the sheep's nose, and they lay eggs in the brain, and the larva would hatch and feast on the brain of the sheep and cause it to go senile and go crazy. It's pretty nasty, but it's pretty devastating for the sheep as well, and eventually it would kill it. And so the scent of the oil would repel these insects. Sometimes the oil was applied for medicinal purposes as well. The sheep may try to rub up against a limb or a tree to get relief, or maybe there's a little nice patch of grass just out of reach, and so it would rub up against the fence in order to try to get that grass, which would cause abrasions on the face. Insect bites and bushes would damage the skin, and it would become infected if it was left untreated. And so putting the oil on the face would actually prevent infection. The oil was also rubbed on the heads of sheep that acted like goats. Occasionally, you would have sheep that want to butt heads with each other. And so the shepherd would go and put a little oil on their heads to minimize the impact and reduce the friction. And so whenever they go and butt heads, they're just going to slip off each other, and they look kind of silly when they do it. And that's not going to be very impressive for the ladies. So eventually they give up, and they don't do it anymore. And so when you think about oil in Scripture, sometimes it is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And so you can say that maybe the Holy Spirit is good for what bugs you, in a sense. But when we think about life, you know, we have people that irritate us sometimes. And people sort of rub us raw sometimes. And maybe we even butt heads a few times. And if we take the time to say, God, help me out in this situation, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit right now to intervene in this life. Oftentimes, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life may actually prevent some of that in your life as well. But let's look at the rod as well. It's like a policeman's club. It's often made of oak wood or has a knob on the end of it. And sometimes they put nails or driven into it to make it a better weapon. And it is beneficial for protection. No shepherd would be without it. The prophet Ezekiel referred to it a custom of sheep passing underneath the rod in order to inspect them. They would use the rod maybe to separate some of the fleece so they can go and have a look at the skin below to make sure that they're okay and they're healthy and it's acceptable. The law of Moses speaks of tithing of the flock, and to do this, the shepherd would allow the animals to come by him underneath the rod, and he would dip the head of the rod in some coloring fluid and mark every tenth one that passed by, and those that marked sheep were to be given to the Lord as a tithe. So these are the different ways in which these are used. The sepulcher of the ancient kings in the East usually had them, and they originated from the idea of a shepherd's rod. Kings were considered to be shepherds of their people. Therefore, the king's sepulcher or scepter was a rod, symbolized protection, and it symbolized power and authority. But the rod wasn't just for protection, but it was also for correction. The Bible speaks of this rod of correction in the Scriptures. If a sheep repeatedly wandered off and refused to heed the shepherd's warning, then the shepherd might use the rod to break the leg of the sheep. The sheep, unable to walk around, or would have to be carried by the sheep, by the shepherd. And no doubt, you've probably seen pictures and statues of the shepherds carrying the sheep on their shoulders. This forces the sheep to bond with the shepherd. And when it recovers, it stays by the shepherd's side and doesn't go wander off. He doesn't do this to be unkind, but he does this for the protection of the sheep, because if it wanders off, it could be attacked by predators, or it could become cast, or maybe fall into the ocean and drown. And so it's for their protection. However, we may find this hitting a little bit close to home from time to time. Whenever, you know, we find ourselves chastened and we find ourselves broken for those who are prone to wander. However, during those times of brokenness and during that time, you can really bond with God, and your bond with God can become much greater. The purpose is not brutality. The purpose is intimacy. Intimacy with God. But also we see a staff, which many of you probably would recognize immediately. The staff was a long stick with a curved end. A staff would identify one who was a shepherd, because only shepherds use shepherd staffs. At a young age, they would go out into the woods and they would dig up a sapling and they would whittle it down so it fits the young shepherd according to his size and his weight. And shepherding was generally delegated to the youngest son of the family. And so as a young child becomes of age, they would take on the responsibility of shepherding, while the older children, they would go and help their father out in the fields with grain and harvesting and planting and things of that nature. So the staff was used to reunite newborns with moms. If a newborn had the human scent on it, the mom might reject it. So the shepherds would take that staff and use it to pick up lambs that were wandering off and bring them back to their mothers. The staff was also used to guide the sheep. Just a small amount of pressure on the side of the sheep would provide direction for the sheep. And this would be comforting to the sheep, because they know that they were going in the right direction. Sometimes if a shepherd had favorite sheep, the staff would be used as an extension of the hand, and he would lay it upon the sheep as they walked along as a sort of an intimate touch, if you will. Kind of like maybe holding hands, if you will, just to be comforted and to have that sheep close by to them. But also there's the scrip as well. A scrip is a bag of dried skin, And when it leaves home, young boy leaves home to go and tend the sheep, his mother will put some bread and some cheese and some dried fruit and probably some olives in there in order to sustain him as he's out in the field shepherding. It was also the bag that David placed the five smooth stones in whenever he battled with Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And so this is the wardrobe, if you will, of the shepherd, which is important, and you can make some application there to our lives as well. But also, when we get into John chapter 10, he talks about the sheepfold. And in John chapter 10, verse 1, says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold," there's our word today, "to enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, there's two different types of sheepfolds. One is an open field sheepfold. When the shepherds go out into the open field, they will either build or have temporary sheepfolds set up. Generally, these are made out of bramble bushes, and they're piled high so the sheep can't get out and predators can't get in. And on one end, there's a small entrance. And of course, this is where the sheep will come in and go, will enter and exit. Then there's the communal sheepfold, and this is what John here is talking about. This is the type that John is speaking of here in the text. And when the shepherd come out of the fields and they go to these small villages, they will have a communal sheepfold. Okay? And so as the shepherds go into town, they'll take a break from the weather. They'll go and get supplies. They'll go get cleaned up. They'll go and relax a little bit, maybe find some good food, maybe find a place to rest for the night. And what they do is they'll put these sheep, they'll put their sheep into this communal sheepfold while a shepherd would be left behind in order to look after the sheep while he is away. These communal sheepfolds were generally made of stone, about a meter and a half to 2 meters high. And like the other sheepfold, they had an opening at the end that the shepherd, would enter and exit. But they had to have authority in order to enter these sheepfolds. If one had a business that only had one entry, well then you would sort of question a person that's climbing through the window, would you not? If you would expect if they were there and they should be there, they belong there, then they would actually enter into the front door. People who crawl through windows probably don't have a good motive for their entry. Well, as the doorkeeper would sleep at night at the entrance, some would attempt to steal the sheep by climbing over the walls because of the heights. This probably generally was done with two people. One would boost them over, standing on the shoulders. And once in, he would go and slit the throats of the lamb and then take them and throw them over the wall to his partner. And once they have about 5 or 10 lambs, then they would retreat. So some would one would identify a shepherd by the one that uses the front door. If they were out at midnight going for a stroll and a couple of guys were climbing over the sides of the sheepfold, the chances are they were not real shepherds, no matter how much they insist. And say, now, he goes on to talk about sheep ownership here. In John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So here he has access granted to him. He was an authentic shepherd, and if he was, then the door was open to him. He had permission to withdraw the sheep. Now remember, thieves and robbers, they go over the wall. Only the shepherds gain access through the front entrance. And notice this is an audible call here. One be in a position where if they wanted to bring the sheep out, because this was a communal sheepfold, there would be several flocks there. So how does he know which is his sheep? How does he know which one belongs to him? How can he be sure that he hasn't left any behind or pick up one that he shouldn't have? Well, every shepherd has a unique calling. For some, it may be a particular type of holler. Others, it could be a psalm that's sung, and when they start singing the psalm, the sheep will follow them. And others, like this verse refers to, actually knows their sheep by name. So he could actually call them out by names. Now, this reminds me of a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Notice that. "With the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." One day the Lord will come for His bride, our good shepherd, and He will call out to them. And we who hear His voice will be caught up together with the Lord, with the dead in Christ, in order to meet our Lord in the air. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day when I can hear the calling of God, calling His bride back home to Him once again. But also acknowledge the authority here. Acknowledge the authority. He brings us out as sheep. And for what reason? What is He bringing us out of? What exactly is this sheepfold representing here? Well, it's not the church or salvation, because He is not calling us out of those things. He is here speaking of Judaism. In the previous chapter, we discovered the blind man on the Sabbath day by Jesus. And just as we saw in last week, the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus healing on the Sabbath. In chapter 9, it closes with a man who was blind and now sees. And those that are claiming to see are considered blind. So Jesus is continuing His conversation with the Pharisees and the Jewish people. And the shepherd here says that He's calling them out to a better way. The thieves and the robbers here represent the Pharisees who are attempting to fleece them and to keep them in bondage. A shepherd's job is to lead the sheep and to love the sheep, not fleece them and beat them. And so he calls them out and He leads them. He doesn't drive them. In our Western culture, we're accustomed to sheep drives, aren't we? They use mechanical equipment like motorcycles or four-wheel drives, and maybe they may even use horses or dogs in order to drive the sheep to the next pasture. But not in the Eastern culture. Even today, you can go out and look on the hillsides and you can see the shepherds out in front leading a long line of sheep behind him. Now, one man tells a story when he went to visit the Middle East. He was viewing the flock of sheep, and when he saw a shepherd that was chasing the sheep and being rough with them and being very aggressive to them, and this really bothered him. He says, because they're not supposed to do that over here. So he goes and talks to his guide, and he says, look, you know, I thought here that the shepherds would lead their sheep in this country. And the guide looked over there and said, well, yeah, you're exactly right. The shepherds do lead their sheep in this country, but that's not the shepherd, that's the butcher. So you can understand why he's chasing them. How does he bring them out? He calls them out, and they respond to his calling. Notice they accepted by responding. They hear his voice, and they knew his voice. Remember, these are multiple sheep in this fold. Not all will respond to his voice because they don't know his voice. But those who hear the call and know his voice will follow him as he leads. Now, in the previous chapter, the blind man would have remained blind had he not obeyed and responded to Jesus' invitation. So, what does it mean that he is leading? Well, by his leading, the sheep can rest assured that they are headed in the right direction. If there's any danger, he is the first to encounter it, and he is the first to deal with it. By leading, he demonstrates his love and care for his sheep instead of driving them and being harsh with them. By his leading, he sets the pace. And it's in his timing when the sheep reach their destination. So by his leading, the sheep can demonstrate their love and devotion by following his example and obeying his commands. But also, we are aware of stranger danger. We teach this to our kids here in Australia, and we need to teach this to our congregation as well. Because in John chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." So for that reason, we need to have safeguards in place. No doubt other shepherds may come through and call out to the sheep. And the shepherd must know the true voice of their master, or they may end up following the wrong shepherd. There have been some who through the years have professed to be Christ, or they have professed to be representatives of Christ, and they will go and try to lead God's people astray. During the tribulation, Israel was warned to stay in safety where God had gathered them, because there will be some that will come to them in the last days and say, hey, listen, hey, there's Christ over here. The Messiah is over here. He's out in the desert. Why don't you come and come with me and I will show you. And if they do, there's a danger in that. We know Christ's voice through His Word today. And if someone says something that does not align with His Word, you may be hearing a stranger's voice. And if that's the case, you're to scatter, take off, remove yourself from that individual, flee. Don't engage them in conversation. Don't listen to their voice long enough in order to get used to it, because there is a danger there. Keep your distance. Why? Because He is a stranger. He is a stranger. He does not know you by name. Your best interest is not at His heart. And He is just looking to fleece you. Don't follow the voice if you don't know it. Remember who Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the Pharisees. And as we've seen in the past, they snub the truth. In John chapter 10, verse 6, it says, and Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which He spoke to them. Here we have an illustrated truth of Jesus. Often Jesus would use illustrations that that people would understand and sort of to demonstrate the point He was trying to make. Some would gain understanding and respond positively by accepting Jesus as Messiah. Some would be on the fence and not quite ready to commit. And still others, some clearly with this illustration that's given to them, just totally reject it. He spoke in terms plain and easy to be understood. Yet through the blindness of their minds and the hardness of their hearts and their prejudice in favor of themselves and against Christ, they did not understand what was meant by them. And in Matthew 13:13, it tells us, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. It was a choice not to understand. They chose to remain blind, thinking that they could see. And so therefore they became the illegitimate leaders of God's people. They thought they knew better. They believed that they were the ones that were appointed to lead God's people, but they did not respond to the voice of the Messiah, and because of that, they knew that they didn't belong to Him. Their only interest in the sheep was to fleece them and to lead them to destruction. We're not done yet with this chapter. There's so much more that Jesus has to say to us here. And we'll pick it up next week. But understand the words and understand the world that we're living in even today. Numerous voices are crying out for your attention. Let me ask you, have you heard the voice of Jesus calling? Have you heard the voice of Jesus calling? Have you responded to Him today? How does He call out to you today? He does so by His Word and through the Holy Spirit. We understand from this passage that not all will respond to His call. Some are too busy listening to other voices to drown out the calling of God. Some just want to flat out refuse and want nothing to do with it. Let me ask you, have you heard the calling of Jesus here this morning? Do you sense the drawing of the Holy Spirit in your life? If you haven't responded to the calling in your life, let me encourage you to do that today. Don't wait, don't put it off. Respond to the calling of Jesus Christ today. If the Holy Spirit is working in your heart here this morning, listen, He's calling out to you. He wants to save you. But it's not just about salvation. Also, it's about guidance. The Holy Spirit comes along and guides us and directs us in our life. So let me encourage you, if you haven't responded to the calling of God, well then, to do so today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And Lord, as we begin to get an understanding of a shepherd and what they do, Lord, and their responsibilities, Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be able to see You as that good shepherd, Lord. And I pray that we will be willing to respond to Your calling as You move us, Lord, as You guide us, so that, Lord, we can be protected and that we can be loved and that we can be used by You, Lord, as You see fit. And we do thank You so much for all that You've done for us. We thank You, Lord, for being our good shepherd. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.